I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Ashley Millard, Executive Director of Keep Waco Beautiful. We talk about her work leading 13,000 volunteers who make our town sparkle, as well as a couple creative partnerships that they're rolling out this month. But first, it's the Chef's Corner with Corey McIntyre. I'm now joined in studio by Corey McIntyre for the Chef's Corner, the monthly segment where the executive chef from Milo tells us what's fresh and seasonal in the culinary world. Corey, what's happening?
Not much, man. How are you doing?
Man, life is good. I'm excited for First Friday in Waco.
Yeah, we are too. We're doing a really great tiki night. We're doing all tiki cocktails and like kind of Pan Asian food. We're doing some sticky rice. I got some fresh hearts of palm coming in. We're going to use that with like a crunchy noodle salad. My mom used to make this one. I don't know if your mom made the same one. It would all be at all of our events, Southern food and this like ramen noodle salad.
Yeah, just like crunched up dried ramen on top.
Yes, exactly.
I've been there.
And so I was like, well, my mom made it, so we'll make it too. It sounds right.
So you guys are getting ready for Tiki Night on First Friday, but you also have a spring menu that you'll be releasing.
Yeah, so the spring menu comes out in 2 weeks. We're super excited about that as well. You know, at first we were releasing a new menu sometimes every day, but mostly like every week. It kind of got exhausting. And so now we're trying to roll it out with the seasons and still keep it super fresh and super exciting. So one of my favorite dishes that we're going to put on the new menu is the Country Captain. Whenever the East India Trading Company was coming from India, coming around Africa, and then about to head back to England, stop over in Savannah, Georgia, then head on to England, they were dropping off all these spices. Obviously, we don't have coconuts in Georgia, so we had tomatoes. Made this beautiful tomato broth and cooked curry spices into it and a roasted chicken. We're putting pickled golden raisins over the top and some toasted almonds, and it's going to be really tasty. And some of the awesome produce we're going to be using, broccoli, cabbage, asparagus. With asparagus, we're doing this really delicious ricotta and asparagus tart. One of the other things we're doing is this grilled broccoli with a bagnacuda. So we put bagnacuda on there because I don't want to put anchovy salsa verde because I don't want to freak people out. But charred broccoli with bagnacuda is just, it's almost like a really nice pesto. There's no nuts in it, but that anchovy really brings the umami flavor to
and
it.
And what were you saying, bagnacuda?
Bagnacuda, yeah. It's a salsa verde or a salsa rojo from Italy. You can make it with red wine and anchovies and parsley, or you can just make it with lemon juice, parsley, anchovies, garlic, and shallots.
Every month on the Chef Corner, I learn something new from you, Chef. So thank you for sharing that about bagnacuda.
And it's a fun word, too.
I've never heard it before and will definitely be using it today at some other point. There's a super fun event happening later this month, April 23rd, where you're partnering with Jesus Said Love for Wild Torch. They're going to be shutting down the street right in front of you between you guys and Balcones. Tell me a little bit about what people should expect at that event.
I think it's going to feel much like a street fair, like kind of a festival atmosphere. And I'm really excited that they're bringing it kind of out into the streets. I think what Jesus Said Love does is they are so prolific in being amongst communities. And so, you know, instead of being inside of a building and doing their event, they're actually hosting it in the streets where they're really doing a lot of their work into. For the people who come to Milo, we're doing a VIP experience over there. So their theme is kind of from the ground we came, and these kind of elemental like dirt and fire and earth kind of Captain Planet kind of things. And one of the things that I wanted to do for them was really create a menu that is authentic to that. You know, very much Texas, but very much seasonal, and then some just really nice earthy flavors. One of the things that we're putting on the menu that I'm really excited about are these little quail legs. So we're trimming down the quail leg to make it look like a little lollipop and putting it into a little cup of grits and then putting a pomegranate molasses barbecue sauce on it. So you just take the quail, dip it in the grits, and just take a little bite.
Corey McIntyre, always bringing new perspectives to the Chef's Corner every month here on Downtown Depot. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Saturday afternoons in a dilapidated East Waco warehouse sound a bit different than they did just over a year ago. On Bridge Street, a building that used to store secondhand tires is now home to Brotherwell Brewing, the latest domino in a wave of development on the east side of the Brazos. When I visited the taproom last weekend, it was teeming with Baylor students, Magnolia tourists, and old money Wacoans alike. The vibe the following Monday morning, however, was decidedly different.
Monday is sort of collecting myself from the weekend.
Jacob Martinka is the head brewer at Brotherwell.
typically weekends are very busy for us, and so Mondays is just an opportunity to get recentered.
Martinka and his partner, David Stoneking, sit down together to examine the week's production needs, make sure they're prepared for that weekend's events, and schedule food trucks coming to the brewery.
Really just get going, have a plan for the week, and moving on from there.
Mondays, like every day, are for cleaning. Spraying down the tap room, checking CO2 levels, and of course, sampling the product for quality and consistency.
We've got our second batch of our Pilsner in the tank. It's fermenting away right now. That's our spring seasonal, and we have been very happy with how the first batch turned out, so we're hoping the same for the second.
Brother Well also offers the Texas Red IPA, the Bridge Street Wit, the Chisholm Pale Ale, the Act of Faith Triple, and the Sandman Imperial Stout. But as any small business owner knows, it's not only about making the products. The key is getting them into the hands of customers, one of the most difficult tasks any startup will face.
It's not just a, hi, I'm a new brewery in town, won't you try my beer? It's how can we collaborate, work together, make it to where we're both doing work. It just continues to teach us what we need to be doing.
Thankfully, Brother Well's been embraced by the community. Restaurants like Milo, George's, and BJ's, and pubs like Barnett's and Pinewood cite Brother Well as one of their top sellers. The brewery will be hosting a one-year anniversary party on April 27th to thank their loyal, growing fan base.
It's going to have a big party out in our yard, probably some music, some special release beers, some new stuff that nobody's ever seen before. It'll be a good time.
Martinka and Stoneking were intentional about finding the perfect place for their operation. When Sam Brown, an East Waco property owner, showed them the old I-Beam warehouse, the brewers knew they were in the right part of town, in large part because of the people who already lived and worked in the neighborhood.
Folks in the area tended to be makers. There's a lot of craft going on, and it only made sense for us to be a part of that.
Brotherwell Brewing is open at 400 Bridge Street every Saturday from 11 a.m. until 5 or 6 p.m., depending upon the traffic. And although the brewers are often busy behind the bar or rearranging seating, there's always time to interact with customers.
If you'd like a tour, tuck on a shirt sleeve and ask about it, and we'd be more than happy. We spend our weeks on the brew floor, and we love talking about it.
The Small Business Spotlight is presented by American Bank, with three convenient locations in town, including an expanded branch downtown at Franklin and 4th. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Ashley Millard, Executive Director of Keep Waco Beautiful.
This is exciting.
Yeah. So what is your Waco history?
We moved down from Maryland when I was about 8. Both of my grandparents are from Texas, military people, and they decided they wanted to come back and stay here, retire, the whole shebang. And so we moved down here. I went to Conley, and about my junior year, family said, let's just put everyone at Riker. I went on and went through MCC, Highlander, went on and graduated from Tarleton with a psychology degree. And out of all my brothers and sisters, I was the only one that stayed, though. I always wanted Waco to be something bigger. At the time, I was with a boyfriend, and he was a musician, and it was just more feasible for us to stay in Waco instead of moving to Dallas or Austin because he traveled back and forth. And eventually, when, we were still in that mindset of music and culture, my parents opened up a coffee house called Beatniks, and, they started doing poetry night, live music, and it was really geared towards the high school kids, give them something to do, let them have a place that was safe and hang out.
This is over there. Was this off of Lakeshore?
Mm-hmm, 19th and Lakeshore.
I've heard a number of MCC students tell me about this place, Beatniks, and it's not open now, so I'd never been to it. But that really had a legendary following, and people loved the culture that they built. I didn't know that your parents were involved with that.
Yeah, that was my parents. It was really cool because we got our coffee. It was locally grown and roasted here by Persnickety Tim. Joe Welter, she's an amazing person, and she just ran into me the other day, saying, hey, share some of your secrets and your membership stuff, and I'll give you a pound of coffee. And I was like, yes, I haven't had coffee from y'all since, I don't even know, early 2000s. We just kind of stayed here. And, after that, finished school, had a kid, and started bartending at Hemingway's. That's another little hole in the wall area, but I met a lot of business folk from there. I made good money. But, you know, as time went on, I was just getting tired, staying up really late. And Sherry Street was one of my mom's really good friends, and I was like, hey, I would love to join y'all, at least volunteer, help out.
And what was Sherry doing?
She was the executive director at that time for Keep Waco Beautiful, and I really loved just everything that they did. And a whole lot of people didn't really understand or know that Keep Waco Beautiful was even around. They didn't do a whole lot of marketing. It was very geared towards old money Waco. And so when I came in 2012, I was like, we got to change this. I mean, I was only 27 at the time, and I'm like, so many people my age would love to get involved. Why do we just make it about Baylor stepping out for our big, you know, volunteers? Or just hit up the Boy Scouts. Let's get the whole community involved. And so I just, you know, started doing more social media. When I started, they only had like 500 likes on Facebook, and now we're close to 5,000. We do, and I really didn't understand why we're doing so much paper product. It doesn't really fit our mission. So my whole goal was to eventually go all, you know, paperless, wireless, you know, mass communication via social media, email, whatever. However, we're doing more and more stuff on the radio, more and more stuff with, you know, news channels. And so, you know, we still do print with the Trib, but, you know, doesn't really fit our mission. But, you know, we still need to contact everyone that is involved in Keep Waco Beautiful. And we do still have that generation that likes to have that paper in their hand and look at that kind of product. And so yeah, we just started going and flowing. And we have younger board members now, a wide variety of diversity. So yeah, that's basically what I grew up in Waco. I'm glad I stayed because it's actually now getting to the point where this is exactly what I hoped it would be. And so long life dream fulfilled.
You've been with Keep Waco Beautiful since 2012, but the organization itself has origins dating back to 1979.
Right. So the great Frances Sergis, she had a huge impact in the early 80s. You know, when the tornado rolled through, we kind of had an economic downfall. And she said, let's make it beautiful. She implemented Indian Springs Park. She raised over $3 million to get Heritage Square going. Just a lot of stuff that she did. She lit the suspension bridge. She really loved being behind the scenes, and so she never really branded any of her projects. We also built Miss Nellie's Pretty Place, and that was one of my big projects to kind of rejuvenate it. We did the first ribbon cutting in 1984, and it was just looking kind of sad. So we went in and reseeded with all the wildflowers, kind of brought back the whole reason why we built Miss Nellie's Pretty Place. Congressman Pogue at the time donated $100,000 and said, hey, build this park in my mother's name, because she went out there and that's what she did. She picked the wildflowers. And so when we decided this was going to be another project that we took on, we really wanted to bring back the essence of Miss Nellie's Pretty Place. And at that time, there were no wildflowers. It was a sad story. So
probably because everyone was picking them.
Yeah, well, that and, you know, parks really like to keep things well, neat and groomed. And, you know, when you have so much rollover throughout the years, the whole mission of that just kind of got lost. It's nobody's fault. But now that we implemented it back in place, it's really quite beautiful. You get out there and you'll see wildflowers everywhere. We also brought in the master gardeners to kind of put some education back in there. So they went in and planted a pollinator garden. So you've got all these monarchs coming in when it's migration time, and it's a beautiful place to go and just have a picnic or learn and see about the insects. It's all native plants out there too. So the next phase, and I still kind of need to talk to parks about it, is eventually get a rain garden put in. So that whole park could be sustainable. It'll be the only educational sustainable park in Cameron Park. That's my big mission.
It seems like Keep Waco Beautiful, for being as small a group as it is and as tightly run as it is, It punches above its weight. I find this to be the case with a lot of organizations in Waco that are maybe understaffed or underfunded, and you look at the output of what they do, and it's incredible. You guys are able to partner with the Parks and Rec Department often. But when you were just talking about Miss Nellie's Pretty Place, it reminded me of last year I took my nieces and nephews through this Junior Rangers program that Parks and Rec was doing, and we got to go up to Nellie's Pretty Place and to see the wildflowers and learn. And when you have younger generations who get tutored in the ways of conservation, they grow up knowing that, oh, I can save this, or I shouldn't pick that wildflower, or I should walk on the path instead of forging my own. You know, little leave no trace principles that if you didn't have the infrastructure of groups like yours, we'd have a whole generation of people who didn't know.
Exactly. And I feel like it kind of skipped a couple of generations. And so I really want to bring that importance back. You know, for my generation and, you know, the one above me, we try to do sustainability classes. So, like, we'll do rainwater harvesting classes, worm composting classes, do-it-yourself, raised beds made out of recycled pallets, anything that we could do to help educate the young, the middle, and the elderly, just in a sustainable way. Like you say, that's one of my big targets.
What are some of the initiatives that you guys have going on right now?
So a couple of different programs that we have going on right now. The Adopt a Park Spot Street. I mean, that's been going on for quite some time, but it has peaks and valleys. And so right now we're on the peak side, going back up.
So that's organizations that are wanting to adopt a park or adopt a street.
Right.
And you can do this as your business or as your...
You can do it as
your church, whatever it might be.
You can do it as an organization, a business, a family, a group, anybody. You just have to figure out what area you want to adopt. We'll erect a sign and you just have to clean it up 4 times a year. I've had other organizations or groups clean theirs up more than 4 times a year, and that's always appreciated. It gives, especially the parks, it gives, you know, the whole volunteer aspect value, because you're taking responsibility for it. It's not putting that much pressure on Parks and Recs to go out there and clean it up. It's helping them out and giving you recognition and instilling pride for the city of Waco. So it's a win-win-win for everyone.
Exactly. And I heard about this program as I was serving on the Parks and Rec board last year. And so actually next Saturday, April 13th, Pokio's is beginning its sponsorship of Indian Springs Park, which is very convenient. It's right across the university parks from our store inside the Hilton Hotel. But that's just one way that I think it highlights how important it is to have different groups adopting parks or adopting streets. Because if you're sending out something to the Keep Waco Beautiful mailing list, or if the Parks and Rec Department is sending something out to theirs, we as Pokios can send out to a different group of people. And so the more disparate groups that we can get involved in conservation and in cleanup, I think the better our city's going to look for everybody.
Yes, exactly. Especially with all the tourism coming into town. It looks bad whenever they come in for big events like Celebration or, you know, Brazos Nights, when it looks terrible. You know, there's only so much that we could do, you know, as a city. But if we have other groups like Pokio's come out and help clean up some of that mess, it does. It just looks better for everyone.
So on April 13th, you can come to Indian Spring Park. I will give you a trash bag. In exchange for you giving me a full trash bag, I'll give you a free coupon for an ice cream sandwich. Come eat Pokio's whenever you want to. But not only at Indian Spring Park on April 13th, all along the river, cleanup efforts are going to be happening.
Right. So we'll be out. The public's invited to get in the water provided by Waco Paddle. There'll be paddles, kayaks, canoes. If you really want to get in the water, we also provide phone protectors. We encourage you to take before and after pictures. Just go to our website, and we actually are doing the whole sign-up thing through our website. No more paper waivers.
Keep it paperless, yeah.
And so all you got to do is click, read the waiver, click, basically just saying that if you get hurt, you can't sue us. Not that we have a lot of money anyway, but.
I've done a number of cleanup events with Keep Waco Beautiful, and it's awesome when you get there, how well run it is, how complete the packages. You'll give me a trash picker upper. You'll let me take a canoe out. I mean, you really make it easy on people. So even if you don't consider yourself someone who cares a lot about conservation, if you like being on the river, this is a great opportunity to get in a kayak and go and make your river look a little bit more beautiful.
Right. So we even sweetened up the deal a little more. Each volunteer will get one of our environmental volunteer t-shirts. You'll get like all the materials, gloves, pickers, sunscreen, bug spray. And then we'll even throw in, you know, kind of like a competition. You bring back the most unusual item, we'll usually give you a gift card from wow. somewhere. Or if you are in a group of like five or more, if you bring back the most bags, recyclable or not, we'll give you some kind of treat. So it's always fun. We started doing quarterly river cleanups in 2016. And our first one we did was after the 4th of July, right before Tri-Waco. We really wanted to get the river cleaned up for those swimmers getting in there. So like I said, our first one was in 2016, and we probably had about 40 or 50 people show up. Our last one that we did this past year, we had about 400. And these are random people throughout the community. It's not targeted to one group like Baylor Stepping Out. We get, you know, adults from, you know, my age or older bringing their kids, two-year-olds walking around picking up trash. I had a little boy this past summer that solely picked up cigarette butts. He filled up an entire trash bag, 13, you know, waste bag full of cigarette butts. It was really amazing that he just decided he was going to, that was his mission. It's sad that you still see those cigarette butts laying around, but I'm glad they were picked up because nobody really looks for the small stuff. They see the big stuff and they're like, wow, I made a dent. And so we really try to spotlight anyone that comes out and, you know, decides to pick a particular, you know, piece of trash or group. Yeah, all that good stuff.
April is Keep America Beautiful Month. So April 13th is an awesome time for you to come and get involved. But also throughout the month, there will be educational things going on that you can be more in tune with what's happening in your community and how you can keep it beautiful. Ashley, it seems as within the last few years, that activity on the Brazos River has really perked up. You mentioned Waco Paddle Company. Pura Vida Paddle has opened out there by Buzzard Billy's.
You got Waco Water Sports.
Waco River Safari. Captain Ryan's going up and down, and he has a large conservation focus on his property, too. What do you make of all this new activity, and how closely linked is it to the work that you and other people are doing to keep the area beautiful?
So it's really amazing that finally, the Brazos River has become a place where people like to get in. I remember being in high school, you didn't go anywhere near the Brazos River. It stunk. It was dirty all the time. And, of course, we always did just because we were in high school. But, you know, people just didn't take advantage of the beauty that Waco had. And I guarantee every single one of those businesses that is there now understood then what, you know, Waco could really provide. And we are very close, you know, in touch with all those people. Captain Ryan with the River Safari, he reached out to me. He helped us clean up the river 2017. Those guys got probably, what was it, like six or seven tires, a mattress, some TVs, like you name it, because they had that huge barge getting in, you know, and getting all that stuff out.
Unless I've got my numbers mixed up, working with Group W Bench, I think they picked up 100,000 pounds of trash.
You know, that's probably about right. It's just like a guesstimate. We've had some issues with them because, well, just in the guesstimate part. Of course, we worked at Kings Out. We're a really close group. We partner with Group W Bench whenever they need help. They'll hit me up. They got a big group coming out first Friday, 3,000 kids.
Wow.
And so, yeah, if they need bags, pickers, gloves, you name it, like, I just need to know where that waste is going and how it's being properly recorded. And so once we got on that same page, I'm like, this is awesome, because they strictly focus on picking up litter. You know, we do a wide variety of everything, outreach, waste in place, you know, beautification projects, all that good stuff. And so the fact that we have somebody on our team that strictly focuses on litter, it'll only be better from here.
I'll get you out of here on this, Ashley. There is a new program that you guys are starting at Glass Phoenix, the place that's opened up on the 700 block of Austin Avenue. And it's a glass bottle recycling plan and something that all downtown businesses and people who live downtown can get involved in. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So Clint came to me just randomly, got in touch with me and said, hey, I would really love to see glass being recycled, specifically in the areas where all the bars and restaurants are. I said, it's like you were reading my mind, because we were just talking about this the week before he contacted me. And I said, you know what? Let's start a pilot program. So I reached out to Solid Waste. We are really good partners with them, like really, really good partners with them. I said, hey, let's do this pilot program. He's got this space available for about 5 months. Let's just solely, you know, look at the block of 7th and Austin. You got Classy Glass, you got the Hippodrome, you got Portofino's, you got the winery. I think a couple of the salons, you know, they give complimentary wine. Let's see if this actually works. Let's see if these businesses will, you know, participate in essentially a free program for them. All you got to do is drag your glass behind the building and we'll recycle it for you. Keep Waco Beautiful, we'll run a trailer, pick up those carts and take it over to Cobbs. It'll be more data for us to collect to see if the city actually, if this is something the city would respond to well. And then I can take that back to city management and say, hey, look what we implemented. Look at how much that we recycled and diverted from the landfill just in 5 months. Now let's try to see that happen with every block in downtown Waco. They have a, you know, something happening right now on the Mary Street, and I don't know when that's going to be implemented, but I think just doing this free little survey for a couple of months will help them really make their minds up and, you know, see how much we can actually divert from the landfill. That was kind of one of the big missions that city management put in my head since we moved out. So let's make it happen.
Ashley Millard is the executive director of Keep Waco Beautiful. Ashley, thank you for doing what you do to make our city a little bit more beautiful every day.
Oh, thank you for having me out.
Thanks to Ashley Millard, Corey McIntyre, Jacob Martinka of Brotherwell Brewing, American Bank, and you for tuning in. Don't forget, tonight is First Friday, where downtown bars and restaurants extend hours and specials for evening crowds. Corey's hosting Tiki Night at Milo, and I'll be at Pokio's in the Hilton for a pop-up shop with Sendero Provisions Co. and Jamaican jazz musician Fabian Brown. But if I don't see you there, I hope you'll catch me on KWBU for the next episode. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.